Speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you ever play Conkers as a child? Young people, do you ever play Conkers, I wonder? Maybe a game for the boys more than the girls. Who knows? Certainly it was my dad who showed me how to play Conkers. Find a big, hard, shiny horse chestnut. Drill a neat hole all the way through. Don't crack the case, that will be fatal. Thread a shoelace through the hole and tie a knot. Then venture into the Darwinian arena of the playground, armed with your conker. The aim is to survive. Kill or be killed. Death or victory. As conkers clashed and tested each other to destruction. Your intention was to preserve the life of your conker, to survive, endure, stay alive while others died. But of course, success was always short-lived. The more it won, the weaker it became, until one day the inevitable happened, and your conker was destroyed and died. My dad taught me to play conkers, but my mum showed me that there was another way. You could soak them in water, and when a root burst out, bury them in a pot of soil. Keep your conker moist and warm, and although it had disappeared, though it seemed to have died, you might just find it would rise again in the spring. If you were patient, you might discover a tiny shoot of leaves bursting forth from the dark earth. My mum would nurture tree saplings in the back garden and then, like a guerrilla gardener, go out and plant them round the village in hedgerows, verges, and along the paths. Some of the conkers of my youth are now trees, fruiting a new generation of horse chestnuts every autumn. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world keep it for eternal life. Jesus often speaks, doesn't he, in the Gospels of death and life and how they might be related. And this past year, death and life have much been on our minds. Death, both literal and figurative. The numbers of deceased have been published every day, and we've tried to work out what the rises and falls might mean. And there's been personal knowledge of death. Friends or acquaintances who've died, or perhaps news of neighbours whom we didn't know so well. Much literal death, but symbolic death too, perhaps. The death of the high street. The death of cash. The death, some wonder, of theatre and musical performance. The death maybe of a way of life that we knew just over a year ago. Of connection and culture and contact that may never quite come back. And in the face of these thoughts of death, either real or threatened, literal or metaphorical, are we wondering when and how life will come? How soon life will burst back into the world? Where will it come from? Who can grant us life? And what will this life look like when it erupts? I wonder if the life of our future is going to be as Darwinian as my childhood conker contests. Will life become just another scramble for success? As those who can adapt to some new normal thrust their way to the top. As those who have resources behind them exploit the opportunities that will no doubt emerge. An era when people who have some energy left in the tank and strength of minds and bodies, we'll find all sorts of possibilities to exploit. While on the other hand, the folk who've become a bit exhausted will just have to do the best they can. The people who had no capital to start with and have ended up in debt will just have to slave one way or another for many, many years. And the souls and minds that have been tired and broken will just have to mend as well as is possible. Will life post-COVID be a competition of winners and losers? Or could this be a moment to learn the wisdom of the cross? The wisdom that says that life that is truly life is not life grasped and prized, life hoarded and guarded, life that comes as a victory that requires another's defeat. No, the life that is truly life is life shared and offered, life laid down and risked, life given in the service of others. The life that Jesus lived, that often seems in the Gospels to have failed and ultimately to have died and vanished from the face of the earth, yet which breaks out unbeatable, undefeated, eternal. It struck me studying today's readings earlier in the week that Jesus in his humanity has to learn about that kind of life. He learned that life through his struggles and sufferings. He learned obedience to God's ways. And he learned through tears and sobs, as his heart was troubled when he saw the pain and reality of the world, and considered what he must do to mend it. His heart, his soul was troubled as he learnt from his distress and embraced obedience to the Father's will. If Jesus had to learn, I'm certainly going to have to. If Jesus had to learn, so perhaps might you. So I wonder if you'll ponder, where has life come to you, even in this past year of death and worrying about dying? Where has life, real life, life that lasts, come to you? And where will you look for more of it, if one day we are free? Will life be about winning and gaining, achieving and acquiring, consuming and conquering? All those things that have been stifled but might well return. Or will we prize the life, the true life, the eternal life, of learning and contemplating the beauty of God, of time spent and given to others and to Jesus? Life inspired by the love that lays itself down. And will we trust in God that such a life can never die?